Proverbs 21, you ought to know this verse. We memorized this verse a few weeks ago, a while back, or whenever we was memorizing. You ought to know it anyway if you've been saved a few years. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Ought to be familiar to you anyway. And it's a great verse in the Bible. The Bible's an amazing book. And it says this. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. That's a great verse. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I mean, you know what that does? That answers a lot of questions what's going on in the world today, doesn't it? I mean, we look around, you know what that world does? It gives us, it shows God's under control. He gives us comfort. He's concerned about us, and there's a consolation he gives us. I mean, we're living in a world that's just crazy. It's chaotic, it's confused, and it's literally in convulsions right now, watching everybody. Our country's coming apart at the seams. I've never seen anything like it, man. I mean, I've never seen the mess we're in today. I tell you, if the Lord don't come back pretty soon, I don't know what'll happen. God's the only one to fix this thing. But you know that verse right there, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. That opens up a different world to us when we realize that God can do whatever he wants to do. Folks, God is still in control. God is still on the throne. We used to sing a song, our family, one of it, God is still on the throne and he cares for his own. Amen. And that verse tells me no matter what's going on in the world, God's got the hand of Donald Trump, of Paul Ryan, or any one of them in there, and he's got their heart in his head, and he can just, boop, flip that thing anytime he wants to. Now, God gives us a free will, and he lets men run a while, and he lets them reign a while, and they eventually just run everything is what they do, just run it to the ground and destroy it. But God gives us that freedom. But at the end, I want to tell you this morning, God has the final veto. And what goes in the world right now, what's going on in our country in the mess, and some of the junk I've given you this morning that's just taken over a perversion, God's got the final veto when it all boils down to it. And I want to give you a few things about that verse this morning. I hope it'll help you, and I'm going to give you a lot of verses this morning. It's kind of more of a teach kind of message this morning, and it's going to be part one this morning, part two tonight. There's no way to get it one unless you want to stay to 3 o'clock. But I want to give you some things about it. It'll help you if you'll get this morning. It'll help you. Because you know what? We're in a world that's just gone nuts. And nothing's as fueled it more as cable TV and the internet and social media and Facebook. And they make you neurotic and crazy. And brother, you need to get back in the Word of God and get hold of God. And God will help you. I'm going to ask Brother David Beard to take us to the Lord in prayer before the message, Brother David. Amen, amen. 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 Yes, Lord. I remember a while back in my daughter's wedding, the preacher that was there that did the wedding, he was an evangelist and a pastor. And me and him were talking at the table, and that was when Barack Obama first became president, you know. And he said, I go around churches, you know, and he is evangelist. And he said, I asked them churches, I say, how many of you prayed for this presidential election? He said, every hand goes up. I said, how many of you prayed harder for this presidential election than any other presidential election in your life? Every hand went up. And he said, what happened? You know what happened? God answered your prayer. He didn't answer it the way you thought you'd answer it. You know what? There's no doubt in my mind that God put Barack Obama in that office to bring judgment to America. And I have no doubt in my mind that Donald Trump is going to pick up where he left off. This country's in trouble. It's got same-sex marriage running. They're killing God every time you turn around. I gave you this morning, and I'm going to tell you, brethren, we're in trouble with the Lord this morning. And God is in control of this thing. Y'all remember a while back before the election, people asked me, said, who do you think is going to win the election? I said, I think it'll be whoever God uses to bring judgment on America. That's God's man right there. You can't get away with what we're getting away with. It's impossible if you believe the Bible. And I'm going to give you a few things about this. I'm going to give you some things that I hope that'll help you and that you can sleep better at night knowing God's in control. Amen. Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know what we do? We get our eyes off the Lord. And it'll make you crazy and chaotic and everything else. I want to give you a few things about this verse. I want to say, first of all, it said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and his rivers of water, he turned it whithersoever he will. I say the first thing I see this morning in that verse, I see the providence of the Lord. I see that God is in control of the situation. He's talking about the heart of the king. He's talking about the one that rules. He's talking about the heart of the president, the heart of Congress. He's talking about the heart that God can take that heart. It's in his hand. And as rivers of water, he can turn that thing any way he wants to do it. Take your Bible. Turn over to the book of Job. I'm going to give you some verses. I hope you turn to them. If you need to, just get your index at the front, because I'm going to give you a lot of verses this morning. I want you to see this. This morning, God is in control this morning. There's the providence of the Lord. God is not sitting down on the sideline in America right now. God's not sitting over there worried about what's going on. He's not concerned about Obamacare and Trump care. He's not concerned about building a wall. I tell you what he's concerned about. He's trying to keep people out of hell is what he's concerned about for me and you to do. And there's the providence of the Lord. Look at Job chapter 12. Look at this. Job 12, 16. Get ready to go to Psalms and Proverbs. Job 12, 16 says this about the Lord. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and deceiver are his, both of them. He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings and grindeth their loins with a girdle. Girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthrow the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the age. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of his mighty. Listen, I want to tell you that God is in control and the providence of God is controlling what goes on. Look at Psalm chapter 75. Psalm chapter 75 and get Proverbs chapter 8. There's the providence of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Psalm 75 verse 6 says, for promotion cometh neither from the east or from the west or from the south, but God is the judge, for he putteth down one and he'll set up another. Donald Trump's the president of the United States right now because God put him in there. Barack Obama became president of the United States. God could have killed him before he ever put him in there. God setteth up one and he'll take another one out. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Now God allows us a free will and people get what they want. But listen, if God don't want it to happen, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He could squash that heart and kill it right there if he wanted to. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13 says this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I'm understanding, I have strength. Look at it. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Listen, if God didn't allow it, it wouldn't happen. Turn to the New Testament. Turn over to John chapter 19. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you there's the providence of the Lord. You can go home tonight and sit in bed and realize, folks, that this thing, God's got it sitting right in his hand this morning. Now, I'm worried to death about Obamacare. Oh, listen, man, let Jesus take care of you. Take 1 Peter 5, 7 literally, and it said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. People get worried about stuff. Listen, man, I remember when Barack Obama got elected. I remember some of them calling Rush, oh, we're going to be a communist country. I remember some in this church come and tell me, oh, Barack Obama's going to declare martial law. He's going to be a dictator. I said, oh, when he gets ready to leave, he's going to get out so quick and make your head spin. And he did. You know what happened? We survived. We survived. God got us through it, didn't he? I mean, he got us through it. I don't see some of you don't look like you missed a meal or two, did you? You look like you're doing pretty good, amen? I don't see any of you in jail. You say, what are you trying to tell? I'm trying to tell you that God got you through it, didn't he? We worry about things we don't have to worry about. Look at John chapter 19. Rachel, my daughter, sending me pictures in the middle of church. Pictures of my grandkids. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ standing before Pilate. Watch this. Pilate had him crucified, you remember? Look what he said in John chapter 19, verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and he went again to the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not me? Knowest thou that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus said, I could have us no power at all against me except they were given above. Listen, even when Jesus Christ was on the cross, brother, I'm going to tell you the providence of God was right there. And Jesus said, I gave it unto you. That it wasn't for God, wasn't my Father. What are you saying? You wouldn't have any power. Put you in there. You know what Colossians 1:16 says over there? Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. That's the government. Dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him for all him. And he is before all things. By him all things consist. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you there's the providence of the Lord this morning. And the king's heart is sitting in his hand this morning. Donald Trump's heart, God could take that thing and just squeeze it right then and there if he wanted to. You know what God does? He allows that free will. I'll preach about that later. There's the providence of the Lord. Turn over to the book of Daniel. Look at Daniel. You know what history is? I love to study history. History is the testimony of God. What it is. I mean, every war you talk about, and I give you some of that this morning, everything you see, if you look at it as a child of God in the light of the Word of God, you can see the providence and the purpose of God in it. God's in control. Look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Everybody got Daniel? We're going to go Daniel, then we'll go to Genesis, then we'll go to Revelation. Back to Daniel and Jeremiah. If you get your thing in the front of them, get your index, but I want you to look at these verses this morning. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Everybody got Daniel 2? Daniel 2 verse 20. And Daniel answered and said, he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Watch this, talking about the Lord. And he changes the times and the seasons, and he removeth kings and setteth up kings and giveth wisdom to the wise and acknowledge to them that he said, God removes kings and God's the one that sets them up. The man sitting in the White House right now, if God did not want him in there, bless your soul, he wouldn't be there. Look over there in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. I love this verse. It's a great verse. Daniel 4, 17. Now this right here will help you. This verse right here will answer what's going on a lot of these. Because, I mean, we got complete idiots running our country. I'm saying that with charity, brother. I'm talking about for real. They are morons, Brother Don, running our country. Paul Ryan is a moron up there trying to tell me about Obamacare and that mess. That guy is, he's off his rocker. I saw Lou Dobbs the other day. He said, I got to go up there and teach them what the free market is. They don't know. They don't know. Look at Daniel chapter 4, 17. Look what it says. This is great. This is the Lord talking, brother. This matter by the decree of the watchers and demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know. Watch this.
that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, watch this, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth it up over the basis of men. You know what the word base means? Base means low in place. It means worthless, of low station. It means disingenuous, of little comparative value. And God says, when I set up those kingdoms and the government, I give it to the basis of man. You know what's ruling our country? The basis of man. Listen, I would take anybody in this building and put them in the White House for the guy we got up here, or the guy we had before. I'm serious. Everybody in this building has got more sense than the clowns running this country. You know what God does? He says, I give it to the basis of man. Brother Donovan in the Bible Believers Bulletin a while back had an article on the basis of man, talking about that's who runs our government. Listen, I'd put anybody in this building ahead of some of those guys. I'd put Dalton ahead of it. In fact, I'd put Dalton especially ahead of it. Dalton's probably the smartest dude in the whole room. You don't believe me? Go talk to him. By the way, you want my dictionary to go with you so you understand what he's talking about? Amen. I want to tell you, brethren, there's a providence of God. God sets them up and he puts it over the basis of man. You wonder why you hear those guys and you're going, like my dog. When I talk to her, she goes, trying to figure out what I'm saying in her ears. When I listen to those guys, I'm like that, Brother David. When I hear prompting them, I'm going, what are they saying? Speaking English, dude. I mean, brother, there's the providence of the Lord. Turn over to Genesis chapter 10, get Revelation. In the Bible, there's called a group. There's a land and a religion. It's called Babylon. Babylon runs from Genesis to Revelation in your Bible. Babylon is the empire and the country and the religious system that God fights from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis chapter 10, we see the first part of it. It's called the Tower of Babel. That's when man tried to get together. We see a man named Nimrod, Genesis chapter 10, verse 9. And a mighty hunter before the Lord, where it was said, even as Nimrod, he is the picture of the Antichrist. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Satanism, witchcraft, paganism, most of the stuff that you see in the occult, is some of the religious stuff, you know where it come from? It come from Babylon. Get the book by Alexander Hislop. It's called The Two Babylons. Take you through all that stuff. Look at Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Babylon is part of the kingdom the Antichrist to come through. Babylon was a pagan country, a pagan place. It was ruled by the occult and witchcraft and Satanism and Baal and all that stuff. Vile place. Look at Revelation chapter 14. Verse 8, you got it? Revelation 14. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. Just flip it over and you got it. Revelation 14, 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because, watch it, she'd made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17, 5. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the providence of the Lord. Look at Revelation 17, 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's what God thought about her. Turn over to Revelation 18. Revelation 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become, watch it, the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Talking about devils and demons. He said, Babylon is the abominations of the earth. It's the harbor of the devils and unclean spirits. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. Go to the book of Daniel and go ahead and get Jeremiah nearby. Jeremiah is about three books in front of Daniel. Look at that. Get to Daniel. Go to the book of Daniel. So what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to explain to you the providence of the Lord. Babylon was who God brought up and came out in Genesis 10 and tried to reach it. It became the Tower of Babel, and it goes all the way through that Bible to the end of Revelation. And God said it's the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. He said it's the cage of every foul spirit. God destroys it. The last thing he destroys over there. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. And Daniel chapter 1 says this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, watch this, king of Judah came, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessel of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar to the house of God. You know what happened? In 606 BC, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylon, the mother of harlots, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth, the paganism, Nebuchadnezzar came in and surrounded Israel and besieged Israel and killed thousands of Israel people and went in there and wiped that thing out and took Daniel captive. And from 606 B.C. until 1948, Israel was not a nation. Nebuchadnezzar was the man that came in, Brother Alonzo, the king of Babylon, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth, that came in and wiped out Israel for 2,000 years. Watch this. Turn to Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 25. You say, where was God at, preacher, and all that? I'll show you. You see, there's the providence of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he willed. Look at Jeremiah chapter 25. Nebuchadnezzar came in there. You know what? God kept telling Israel throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Read the book of Deuteronomy. He kept saying, if you'll keep my commandments and obey, I'll bless you. He said, I said before you a blessing and a curse. But if you don't obey those, he said, I'm coming after you. I'll get you. Just like America. Look at Jeremiah 25. Everybody got it? Everybody got it? Jeremiah 25. Look at this. Watch this. Jeremiah 25, verse 9, remember Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the mother of harlots. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, talking about Israel, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, look what it says, my servant. He was God said, that's going to be my man, and I'm going to bring him, and I'm going to bring judgment to Israel. Look what it says. And will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. And will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. You know who he's talking about? Israel. You know what they are right now? They're a desolation and perpetual hissing coming from Nebuchadnezzar right now. Turn to Jeremiah 27. You know what he calls Nebuchadnezzar? My servant. You say, who was he? A Christian? No, he is a pagan king of Babylon that went and destroyed Israel for 2,000 years and the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. But the providence of God said, he's my servant. I'll just turn his heart and he'll do what I tell him to do. Look what he says over in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 6. And now I have given all these lands in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Look at it. My servant and the beasts of the field have I given also to serve him. Turn to Jeremiah 43. Jeremiah 43. I could give you a bunch of them. One more. Jeremiah 43 verse 10 says this. And say unto them, Jeremiah 43:10, and thus say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne above all these stones that I've hid, and shall spread his royal pavilion. Who was that? That was a pagan king that God said, he's my servant. You say, what did he do for God? He went in there and destroyed Israel. God said, that's my man right there. God used a pagan king. See what he's trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you God's in control. There's the pavilion of the Lord. I'm an Old Testament guy. Me and Brother Earl was talking about that. He's looking at my message. He said, I can tell you read the Bible. I said, how can you tell that, Brother? He said, because you preach out of the Old Testament. He said, these preachers, they don't read their Bible unless, he said, they're always in the New Testament. Have you noticed Brother Earl preached out of the Old Testament? Your brother, what Charlotte Calvin preached last week out of the book of Genesis, redigging your well. You know why you like the Old Testament preachers do? My favorite book in the whole Bible is the book of Isaiah. You say, why? Because God speaks in the first person. I get to see God's world. The Old Testament, God pulls back the curtains, and you get to step inside a little bit. And you see God moving those nations. You see what's going on in America. You see God's hand moving all over the place. You get to see the Lord working. Look over in Isaiah, Jeremiah 43. We went there. There's Jeremiah. And you know what God did with Jeremiah? With Babylon over there, he reached down there to Nebuchadnezzar and he said, as my servant, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, God took the heart of that king and used it and called him his servant to destroy Israel. Boy, oh boy, I bet you're not going to get that up from Joel Osteen, are you? I mean, all God does, he just blesses you all the time. Listen, God says one time, he said, I've come to destroy you, and he said, I've come to wipe you out, and he said, and I'll build you again. In the book of Jeremiah, God used a pagan king to bring judgment on Israel. And God said, he's my servant. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. You see, what's going on in the world today, preacher? I'll tell you what's going on. The providence of the Lord. I mean, you might as well just sit back and enjoy the show, folks. I enjoy it. I love it. You say, well, I believe the Bible. I know what the Bible says. I know what's going on. I tell you what you do. Just get you a bag of popcorn. Get you some of that white cheddar popcorn from Publix. And man, get you a bag of that stuff. Sit back in your recliner and get your Bible in front of you. And just enjoy the show. Watch the fireworks. Let God be God. Amen. You're not going to change it anyway. You might as well enjoy it. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. There's King... There's Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. God calls him my servant. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. His rivers of water, he turneth with us wherever he will. There's another guy over here. His name is Cyrus, the king of Persia. He comes right after Nebuchadnezzar, Persia. Look at 2 Chronicles 36, verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord of God given me, and he charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. That's what happened over to Ezra and Nehemiah over there when they go back to build back the house of God. That's what God put on a pagan king by the name of Cyrus, who was a killer. Bible said God stirred him up, brothers. He told Babylon over there, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he told him. He said, go in there and destroy the land. You know, he told Cyrus, he said, I want you to go back here and build it back. You know what God did? He got the heart of that king in his hand. He's doing what he wants to do. He'll let man have freedom, but in the end, the providence of God's going to step in. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Oh, I love this Bible. What a book. Aren't you glad God gave us the Word of God and you reach in there and read this stuff, man? I mean, you think the world's just gone chaos and chaos. Listen, God's got it all under control, folks. Just sit back. Turn off that boob tube. Turn off Facebook. Turn off all that junk to get your eyes off God and get you so nervous. And just sit back with the Bible and let God enjoy the show. God's in control. Look over at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Or Isaiah. Y'all help me out now. Be a lot like Carl Lackey one time. I heard him preaching. And he is preaching. You get preaching, you know, you got scriptures here and you're trying to say that and you get all mixed up. And he is up there preaching. He got mixed up and has some kid preacher boys. Like, whenever he preached, you'd have a line, two pews of preacher boys. I'd be one of them if I was there. And he is preaching. Well, it's so funny one time. He is preaching. He got confused. He looked down and said, come on, boy, help me out. Bless God. I'll sit down and let you take over. See how you do. See, y'all help me out. Isaiah chapter 45, look at it. Isaiah 45, 1. Watch this. Remember Cyrus? He is a pagan god, pagan king. Worshipped the god of Baal over there. Killed people, came in there and wiped out kingdoms. Isaiah 45, 1. How you talking about? I'm talking about the providence of God. God has the king's heart in his hand. Isaiah 45, 1. Thus saith the Lord God to what? his anointed to Cyrus. What did he call him? He said, I've known he's mine. He's a lost king of a pagan country. Come down to verse 3. And I will give him the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast known me. God called his name out before he was born right there. As for he is born. And God said, I'm going to use you for Israel. People ask me a lot of times, how do you read the Bible? How do you study prophecy? I said, that's simple. Watch them Jews. That's all you have to do. You know what God said? You know what he did to Nebuchadnezzar and brought him out? To teach the Jews a lesson. You know what he's doing with Cyrus over there? He said, I'm going to call you and I'm going to anoint you, boy, because I want you to go talk to Jacob for me. You say, why? God deals with Israel. Forget about America. They're not in the picture. Watch Israel over there. Look at Isaiah 44. See who you're talking about? I'm talking about Cyrus, a pagan king. I'm talking about somebody before they were born, God calls their names out and said, here's what you're going to do, and you don't even know it, and you don't even know me. That's pretty good, isn't it? Isaiah 44:28. That saith of Cyrus, watch this. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. You say, who's he talking about? The Apostle Paul? No, he's talking about a pagan king. What he's talking about. So what he's trying to say, the heart of the king, it's in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he'll just turn it wherever he wants to turn it. He got that guy before he was ever born, called him out. 19, turn to Jeremiah chapter 22. Turn to Jeremiah 22. Say, preacher, what do you look for when you look at prophecy? You watch them old Jewish people. See what God does with them. All the whole world, over there in Galatians chapter 4, it says about Jerusalem, the mother of us all. That's where everything's going on over there, that little bitty country. You know why they're mad at us and bombed us in 9/11? Because of our relationship with Israel. God said, I'll bless those that bless you, talking about Israel, and I'll curse those that curse you. Watch this. Look at Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah 606 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came in and he wiped out Israel. And Israel wasn't a nation until 1948. You picked up a map before 1948, there was no Israel on the map. They were gone. Look at Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22. Verse 25, and I will give unto thee the hand of them that seek thy life and the hand of them that face the fierce, even the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. That's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar went in and besieged them, and to the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast home at Israel. I'll cast thee out and thy mother that bare thee in another country. Where thou were not born, there she shall die. And God did it. He scattered them all over the world. Verse 27, but to the land wherein they desire to return, thither shall they not return. In 1911 and 1914 had World War I. After World War I in 1917, they signed what was called the Balfour Declaration. You know what happened in the Balfour Declaration? They got together in the Great Britain and they gave the land back to the Jews. They cut up a land over there for Israel. But you know what? Just like Jeremiah chapter 22 we just read, they wouldn't go back. What he said. He said, I've given you back the land, but they won't return. They wouldn't go back. God gave them the land after World War II to give them that land, just like Jeremiah 22. It said, we're not going back to that desert. Man, we got businesses and banks. We're all over the world. Man, why don't we go back to over there? Well, World War II came along. World War II came along, Adolf Hitler came along and killed 6 million Jews and gassed them and all that stuff. And you know what happened after World War II? Started going back to that land. In 1948, after World War II, Israel became a nation. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30. See what we're talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the providence of the Lord. Brother, you see all these things moving the world. I'm going to tell you, God's moving the pieces. Somebody said, and I believe this with all my heart, World War I was to get the land ready for the Jews. And World War II was to get the Jews ready for the land.
But after World War II, brother, they started running back to that land. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah 22, God said, I'm going to give you back the land, but you're not going to go back. Watch what happens in Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, look at verse 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they'll possess it. That's exactly what happened. And brother, all 60 million people died in World War II. 11 million and 17 million in World War I. 20 million were injured. All that took place. God bringing His people back to the land just like He said. See, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you God's in control. There's the providence of the Lord. What's going on in the world? Everybody flipping out and getting chaotic and anemic. Some Christians turn that junk off. Get in the book. Get in the book. God told them exactly what they were going to do. He said, I'm going to give you that land back, but you won't go back. But He said, when I get through with you, you'll be running back to that land. And the greatest miracle since the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place in 1948 when God resurrected the nation of Israel. And right now the whole world is focused on that little country. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation. So what are you talking about, preacher? Boy, we ain't even got started. I'm talking about the providence of the Lord. I got 6 points. I was going to give you two. I might just have to give you one this morning. I'm trying to show you something this morning. I'm trying to show you just need to sit back, quit worrying about all this junk going on. Listen, there's things to worry. I'm a worrier, by the way. I worry. I've been worrying about my situation. Things I'm in control of, things that I can do, I try to worry a little bit. But brother, when it comes to the government and Obamacare and all, I could care less. It doesn't matter anyway. I just believe God's in control. I don't care. So they're going to raise taxes. Big deal. Everybody does it. They're going to do it. Who cares? Let God take it. God can handle that part. I know the part I need to handle. Look at Revelation chapter 14. And I've given you this before about Revelation and the Antichrist. You know, Revelation, one of the reasons why we don't go through the rapture, and I've told you this several before, is because Revelation, the book of Tribulation, is not the wrath of the devil, like a lot of people think. It's the wrath of God on Israel. That's what it's about. God's doing it. Look what it says, Revelation 6:16. And said to the mountains and rocks, Revelation 6:16, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come. Bible says in Ephesians that He delivered us from that wrath to come. That's what He's talking about, that tribulation. That's why the church can't go through the tribulation. Brother, the tribulation picks up in Malachi chapter 4 where God says, I'm going to smite you with a curse. That curse jumps over in Revelation 4. Look at Revelation chapter 11. And the nations were angry and thy wrath is come. Look at Revelation 14:10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. This cup of look at that word, indignation. Revelation 14:19. And angels thrust in the sickle of the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast in the great winepress of the wrath of God. Revelation 15:1. I saw another sign in heaven, great marvelous seven angels having the seven last plagues. In them is filled up the wrath of God. Oh, I can give you more and more in tribulation. What's going on is the wrath of God on this new world. Turn to Isaiah 10. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you God is in control. I'm trying to tell you the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, He turneth whithersoever He will. Revelation, God comes down this earth for His last final judgment, dealing mainly with Israel and the lost world. And brother, when He hits that tribulation over there, that's the wrath of God. But He lets the devil do it. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. See, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you there's the providence of the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. Look what it says. That Assyrian right there, you know who that is? That's the Antichrist. That's who's going to do His wrath in the book of Revelation. It's going to be the wrath of God, but the devil and the Antichrist are going to be His instruments to do it.
Look what he says about the Antichrist in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and in their staff is the hand of mine indignation. That's what he said over there. Revelation is poured out the cup of my indignation. He's talking about right over there in the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to be the rod that I'll use to bring forth my wrath. The Bible says over there in the book of Proverbs, verse 16, it said, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Brother, God's in control of what's going on. Just sit back and enjoy the show. You know what we do? We worry too much. There's some things to worry about. We worry and waste our time watching all that junk and getting bent out of shape about it. And I tell you what, half of it doesn't happen anyway. And if you're saved, David said, there's some things I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous begging for hunger. I've never seen it either. You stay right with God, you know what he'll do? If he throw you in a fiery furnace, you can sit in there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, like Brother Roloff, y'all better pull up a chair, boy. We need to warm ourselves in this fire. God will take care of you. If he don't, you get to go on home. That's even better, amen? That's a whole lot better as far as I'm concerned. What are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you God's in control. There's a providence of the Lord. We get worried about everything. You know what? I done read the book. Amen. Brother David, Miss Maggie, I know how this thing's going to turn out. It's going to be good. I done read the final chapter. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. And it said, I heard a voice saying, God shall tabernacle with man, and he'll be their God, and he'll dwell with them, and they with him. I love that next verse, Miss Maggie. And it said, God shall wipe away all our tears. Neither shall there be any more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither no more pain, Brother David. All things are become new, he said. And next verse said, and I heard a great voice, I heard the Lamb from the throne. Behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these things are faithful and true. You see, I read the last chapter. I know how this deal's going to end up. And I know God's in control, Miss Tara. It doesn't matter what this world and all the kook birds do, all they want to do and run around all their stuff. I know what's going on. There's the providence of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. We live in one messed up country, don't we? I mean, we got it messed up. I mean, our churches are messed up. I thank God for this church and the people that are passing out tracts and Brother Ben standing up in Arby's and giving them a testimony saying, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and I can tell you about him if you're lost and you'd like to know. He's done it at Arby's and we're at Wendy's. I love it. I love it. I love these peculiar people, brother. I like people that aren't ashamed of the Lord. Amen. Brother, the world's not ashamed of their gods. We're out in a messed up world. Say, what can we do, preacher? We can't change this mess. God's in control. I'm not even trying to change it, Brother David. I know what's going on. Them guys, they get in there and tell you they're going to do all this stuff. Donald Trump said, I'll be the best Christian, friend of Christians ever had. You know the first thing he does? He gives the sodomites special rights, civil rights, so that if you have a bakery, you have something, they can sue you and make you bake it. You know the second thing he did? He gave the sodomites a seat in his administration to check for demonstration of discrimination across. He didn't know Christians that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable! He said, what's going on? We don't have any control. He said, I know what he said he's going to vote. I know it. There's no one any of them saved. Will you vote for them? They all put a good line on there. Can't control it, folks. But I'm going to tell you, God's in control. God's got it in his hand. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can control your world. You can get in that book. You can get in that book and read that book. I'll tell you what you can do. You can get you some tracts.
and go down here and walk around these parks and go down here to grocery stores, I tell you what you can do. You can get some people out of hell. So I want to make a difference. Jude chapter 1 says, and some having come compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. That's what we can do. And I tell you what, I'd rather get one soul out of hell than build a wall. I'd rather get one soul out of hell than all the health care in the world. All this stuff we worry about, brother, we ought to be worried about what God worries about. The Bible said in the book of Luke, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that cometh, that repenteth. I don't hear joy about Obamacare or Trump care or building a wall or all the junk people get so excited about. You know what we ought to get excited about? About what we can do. You're not going to change this stuff. The heart of the hand, the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. And he turneth with us wherever he will. We get so caught up in it sometimes, we get just feeling the mully grubbies and everything else. You know what we need to do? We just need to get with it. Years ago, I was in Bible school, me and my cousin, David. And he liked this girl down there a lot, Penny, my wife remembers. We can't send him this on tape now. He knows. But he liked this little girl, dated her for a while, and then they broke up, and boy, he just, Miss Tara, he was mully grubbing all over the place, man, throwing things, you know. He and I were roommates. You know how you get when you love your buddy and your love breaks up with you, you know. He thought they was going to get married and everything, you know. He was just, oh, I'll never get married. I can't get a wife. I don't know what I'm going to do. And finally, I told him one day, one Saturday, he was doing all that, Miss Debbie. I said, why don't you quit moping? Quit sucking your thumb and acting like a little baby. Won't you go get you a handful of tracks and go down the mall and tell somebody about God? And man, he looked at me like, well, he went over there and grabbed him some tracks, went out the door and slammed the door. About 3 hours later, I'll never forget it, Miss Karen. Man, he come in that door bouncing and hopping and jumping around. He said, glory to God! He said, I let two people of the Lord at the mall. You know what? Get your eyes off this junk. God's in control. God's not worried about that junk. You don't need to worry about it either. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the word of God you've given us, Lord. Thank you for all these things you've given us. And thank you, Lord.